Welcome into the Beer of the Day podcast. A little bit of a different show tonight. We get to try some beers from the southern part of the country. As you can probably tell from the music, we have four beers from New Orleans and also a couple of beers from Florida. A friend of the program, Hugo, recently drove from Florida to California, LA, and along the way he stopped at several places and picked up some beers for us to try, and we have some of those beers tonight. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Steve Williamson, and from Pasadena on Skype, Jeff Miller. Hey guys.
Hey y'all.
Hey.
So it's kind of nice to have beers that you can't even buy in the store here. I mean, some of these we got in the store here tonight, but a couple of these beers we can only get, down in Louisiana. Yeah.
I'm excited because I've only ever heard of one of these breweries. All the rest of them I've never even heard of, so this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's good. Change it up a little bit. All right, let's try the first beer. We have from Dixie Brewing Company in Narlands. This is Blackened Voodoo Lager. 5%.
I expected it to be darker just based on the name, but it is dark for a lager.
I agree. That surprised me.
You heard the name Blackened and you thought you were
surprised?
I thought
it was going to be really dark. I don't know why I thought that, though.
I thought it would be like a black ale. I agree. And it's like
I don't know. It's a lager still. It can't be that dark.
I like the aroma. It smells very good.
I want to go back to the color. I don't think we've accurately determined what it is yet. It is a dark amber color.
Yeah, but and so it is. It reminds me of the Oktoberfest lagers we get from Germany.
Yep.
It's a little a little darker than that, but not much.
Some of you guys have thinning head on yours. I still have two fingers of head that's not dissipating very much.
So you know, like when wine, when you swirl it around the glass, it has legs. I mean, this has got a lot of like residual being left on the glass when you swirl it around. It's
lacing.
Like, yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And the aroma that I mentioned, I mean, it kind of smells like one of those German, like a Marzen.
Yeah, like malty.
Definitely, malty-ish. That's exactly what I thought too.
I think there's some pretty fruity aromas on there. I'm not sure exactly what fruit, but
it's a lot better than I was expecting. I had pretty low expectations.
I like
for this.
It.
It is very sweet. I mean, it's like
it's the sweet tea of beer.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah, it's sweet, but it's what I expected. I mean, it reminds me a lot of like the Spaten Oktoberfest,
but sweeter.
Yep,
not much.
It's sweeter than that.
It's got kind of more of like a brown sugar candy.
Brown sugar Marzen.
A candy sweetness for sure.
It has a grainy aspect to it too that balances out the sweetness a little bit, but it is very sweet.
The German beers to me have a much drier taste, a much more dry mouthfeel. This is totally missing that quality.
It's very sugary.
It's kind of light bodied still. I mean, I would expect that for a lager. It's just light bodied and very sweet, but it doesn't have like a lingering sweetness. It's kind of an abrupt ending,
yeah,
which I like.
I felt like that too, but then as I keep like exhaling 45 seconds later, I'm getting like the sweetness again.
It is sweet.
I'm longing for more carbonation.
Me too. It's a little low carbonated. The caramel malts it's the strongest part of that beer. It's just a little more sweeter than your standard Oktoberfest or Märzen type beers.
This is a screw top, so I don't know how well it held up in Hugo's trunk. Ba-dum-tsh.
And that could be why, you know, Dal mentioned our quickly dissipated head. I think our bottle might have been a little more flat.
I think they're fine. I think that's just what the beer is.
I bought this at Total Wine. This was not a Hugo beer.
Yeah.
Trying to give him credit.
I feel like Hugo is like the Prohibition days. He's like smuggling beers over to us or something.
He's bootlegged a few different beers for us.
Across state lines.
Yeah, he brought us all the Cigar City beers and he brought some more. He brought some beers from Texas, Arizona. So we'll have those on a future show. So has anybody had any interesting beers this week?
Yeah, I actually did have one. I was at OTP on Tuesday.
When are you not?
Well, I mean, I do go there every week for trivia.
I wish I lived this close to OTP. I would be there every Tuesday as well.
And they do have different beers. And I was really surprised at the beer they had this time. From none other than St. Louis, Missouri, where we were just at a couple of months ago. This is from Perennial Brewing Company. It's called 17 Mint Chocolate Stout.
That's the one we were supposed to go to, and we didn't get to it.
17 Mint Chocolate Stout.
Was it good?
It was really good.
Did it taste like mint chocolate chip ice cream?
It tasted, you know, I almost say that it tastes like a Girl Scout Thin Mint, but it was actually a little bit more robust than that. Obviously, the cookie is very sweet, and anyone can, any child could eat the cookie. But this was actually a little more darkness and bitterness to the beer that kind of balanced out that cookie sweetness. And it was 10%, and it wasn't a hidden 10%. You could taste the booziness on it, but it was really good. Very surprised that they had a St. Louis beer at OTP. I mean, generally it's more local beers, but definitely glad I got to try that one.
That sounds like something I want to make a beer float out of.
I was going to mention something, you know, Dallas going to trivia this week. I went to trivia too at a different place. I didn't have any new beers, but something I found interesting, it was kind of a Stone tap takeover, which Stone hit or miss. I like some of the beers, some I don't like. But what was cool is they had a few of the beers on tap that we really enjoyed in the past that we only had in bottles. One was the Master of Disguise, that golden Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
And also one of the best stouts I've ever had, the Woot Stout, the Farkeen Wheaton Woot Stout. Both of those on tap. Very cool to have. So I thought that was a good experience.
I like that Woot Stout. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to have to revisit that one. It's been a while since we had it. All right, well, let's move into the next beer of the day. We have Hopitulous IPA.
Excuse you?
This is from NOLA. NOLA, the New Orleans Lager and Ale Brewing Company.
Wouldn't that be No Lab?
They just shorten it to NOLA.
Technically, yes.
I think this might have double meaning, too. I always thought NOLA stood for New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yeah, it does.
Right, but it's a different name for the brewery.
6.5%. This is 48 IBU.
Now, this one smells sweet. It smells hoppy, but it also smells sweet.
Color-wise, it is a dark golden, even with just a hint of orange to it.
And an ever so slight haze.
Slight haze, white head, pretty good head on it.
So when you guys smell a beer, do you go, I'm going to like this beer. This is going to be not good.
I do, but I tend to be wrong a lot.
So
I smell it and I'm going to like this camp.
Yeah, I'm going to like this camp, but I'm also wrong sometimes. But I feel like I always make that judgment when I smell it. And this has got some intense like smells and hoppiness, especially when it comes to like a piney flavor and a lot of tropical fruit smells. I feel like I'm really going to enjoy this.
I agree.
I saw Dallas's face and now I'm like changing my mind as I see
it.
Nope, I just took a sip and Joel, you're going to enjoy it.
It's just different than any IPA I've experienced. There's like a bready maltiness here that right on the initial sip that has me like, I'm not quite used to that flavor because it's a beer I've never had before. But then it's kind of more of a traditional citrus hop on the aftertaste. I like it.
It's unique for sure. It has like a, it's the wrong word to use, but like mossy taste to it. And I mean that in a good way. Like there's a little wetness to it.
I find that it's bitter, but it's like a reserved bitterness, which is not normally how I would describe it to me. Bitterness is kind of black and white. It's either bitter or it's not bitter. But in this case, it's like a reserved bitterness that is there and then it's gone.
Yeah, the bitterness is there, but they've really taken the edge off the hop bite.
Yeah, they have.
And it's that bready cereal maltiness in the beginning is, it's, I don't want to say it's an East Coast IPA because it's a little more hoppy than that. It's like right in the middle, you know? It's like, that's a really interesting beer.
It's well balanced. I think it probably has a lot of dry hopping, and I think that's leading to some of that, the flavor you're picking up on, is my guess. Because I get the breadiness. It's a little dry, which I like, but I think it's very well balanced, kind of a West Coast style from a New Orleans brewery.
And I'm just curious, Andy, is there a date on this can? And the reason why I bring it up is because there's like a, you know, it's in the home brews like realm that people talk about, you know, doing a lot of dry hopping and leaving the dry hops on the fermentation for a long time gets a grassy flavor. And a lot of people think that flavor is off-putting, but for some reason on this one, it's not. It tastes kind of like an actual hop. If you take hops straight out of the bag and taste it, mm-hmm. it's not really enjoyable, but there's somehow they've done well to just have a little bit of that in there where it's not overwhelming.
The date on this can is 6/10, or Best Buy 6/10.
Okay.
So
we're right. Where do you say that at?
On the bottom, where the date's printed.
So we're approaching.
Right underneath the words Best Buy.
I think we're right in the prime range.
Does anybody think that the difference between canning and bottling, that canning gets rid of some of the skunkiness that tends to happen?
Well, skunkiness is caused by light. Mm-hmm. So yes, it doesn't get rid of it. So. It just prevents it from happening.
I think that something that I like about this is maybe that it is canned. And so the bitterness doesn't become that skunky bitterness, which is very off-putting to me. It's a very nice bitterness on this. It's real mild.
Yep. I agree.
Maybe that's just the way it was brewed, but
I think as far as IPAs go, it's on like a scale from 1 to I can't stand it. It's not that bad, like in the IPA world.
Is that closer to 1 or closer?
that's how she chose me.
it's like a 3 or a 4. You know, like it does taste like an IPA. And they're not my favorite, but it's not, it like Jeff said, it's pretty well balanced.
Yeah.
I think if I was on vacation on like a beer trip to New Orleans and I tried this beer, I would be pretty happy if this was the representation of IPAs from New Orleans.
Well said.
Agreed. And now let's get into the beer news of the day.
So this is something that'll make us happy, Joel, on our trips, our family visit trips back to Cincinnati. Ohio lawmakers are approving the high alcohol beer above 12%.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So last week, language removing the 12% alcohol by volume cap was added to House Bill 37, and it was approved on Wednesday with an 88-9 vote.
So I don't have to stop pouring shots in my beers in Ohio?
Guess not.
You don't have to.
So it's approved. It's got to go to Governor Kasich to sign. And a Kasich spokesman said that the governor has not yet reviewed the legislation.
He's probably just pissed off right now. He's not going to say anything.
So I'll tell you this. When I saw this news article, like the increase in ABV allowed in Ohio, I was like, oh, good. We're going to get beers above like 7 or 8%. And then I read and I was like, oh, 12%? It's not too often where I'm like, man, I need a 13% beer right now.
That's true.
You're usually better off without.
Yeah.
But that, I wonder if Ohio breweries are going to do it now just because they can.
Oh, sure. It's like, huge for like marketing.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah, definitely. And then like there's beers we had on this show. We had the Clown Shoes show and they brewed a special edition of
the Ohio Unidragon.
Right. Their Blakehorn Unidragon. They brewed a special version for Ohio because it had to be under 12%. And it actually wasn't as good of a beer, the beer that we tried. So they're not going to have to make special beers for Ohio anymore.
Ohio, you're not special anymore. I wonder if that'll make Buckeye Nut happy.
Guaranteed.
All right, next story. So a beer company has been fined over alleged violations in Seattle. So apparently there's a law in Seattle that you cannot pay to play. And Anheuser-Busch has run afoul of this, and they're accused of entering into an illegal agreement with two Seattle concert venues paying an exclusive promotional fee in order to secure a place for its products at the events and block out competitors.
Yeah, so there's some states that have like these pay-to-play laws, and it's for bars, entertainment venues, anything like that. And the Anheuser-Busch's of the world, they find ways around it. You know, they sell directly, but then they give you deals on the beer, things like that. So it's not directly, I'm not paying you for the spot. We're going to get something else out of it, or you are, and you're going to serve my beer. Yeah. And so the lawmakers have to really dig into that to catch them.
So $150,000 fine.
Yeah, they don't care.
Drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's interesting because I, you know, when we went to Seattle, and we've talked about this before, that we say in like a lot of places that you go to Seattle, you almost exclusively find local beers there. So they're kind of even bucking that trend and trying to get in on it. Alrighty, and the last one is a boy. Whoops. A boy at TGI Fridays was mistakenly served alcoholic root beer.
Was it his dad's root beer?
It was not his father's.
Not your dad.
I really hope they don't have me on camera.
So poor Tyler Schwab was given some alcoholic root beer, and he wanted to know, what do you call that? Throw up root beer? Because that's what it tastes like. And I tend to agree.
Yeah, actually, Tyler's palate is pretty spot on.
Unfortunately for Tyler, he was a little bit freaked out and was worried he was going to die.
Daddy was like, that's for mommy.
Now, this actually happened to Steve just yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, we were at Total Wine, and I my favorite brand of root beer is Sprecher, and I saw a couple on the shelf in the non-alcoholic section. They had all the cream sodas, and I get home, and they're hard root beers. I was like, what is this? I don't want the hard root beer. I want the regular one.
Wow.
Well, I'm still going to try it, but I'm sure it's not as good.
It would have been good if he didn't realize it until he took his first sip, and then he and Tyler would be in exactly the same boat.
Died of intoxication.
Yep.
I kind of, it has 5.9% alcohol, so if he had consumed the whole thing, I think that would have been trouble.
He would have been feeling good.
He would have thrown up a little bit.
Hopefully he drank half of it before he sent it back. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, let's get into the next beer. We have one of Andy's favorite beers, the Andy Gator.
Probably Andy's favorite beer.
Have you ever had this, Andy?
You know what? I haven't. We see it on the shelf all the time, but I never get one.
The Andy
I thought it was
Gator.
Fitting for this show.
This is from Abita Brewing Company in Abita Springs, Louisiana, which is in the Piney Woods, 30 miles north of New Orleans. 8% ABV, 25 IBU.
It has an interesting aroma.
If someone told me this was a lager, I'd be like, yeah, it's a lager.
It's a double bock.
It's light in color. It's got a little bit of, it's a little syrupy looking.
Does it look like a fearsome beast?
Yep. Yeah.
It's pretty light colored, like a light golden
color. It doesn't look
like
you, if that's what you're asking.
I'd say it's a solid golden color. It's,
yeah. Golden color, pretty thick head, like a very white, foamy head.
The color that's quite yellow, bordering on orange.
It's like a bad night of drinking too much.
It has kind of like champagne-y bubbles, too. And I'm finding the aroma to be rather acidic.
I kind of get the sweet corn type of smell.
Yeah, it's good.
Andy's favorite.
I do like sweet corn. Little salt.
A little butter.
Butter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
Again, kind of like the Black and Voodoo, a lot sweeter than I would have anticipated.
Well, it's a Bock beer. I mean, that's a little bit to be expected. But at 8%, this goes down pretty easily.
Yes, it does.
Obviously, they bump the sweetness up. There's going to be more alcohol, more sugar. They got to mask it a little bit. So it's a little sweeter than your average lager, but 8% is a lot higher alcohol than your average lager.
But I think that also 25 IBUs, I mean, I know it's not a lot of IBU, but it's, I think, typically higher than what you would expect.
They definitely do some hops in there.
Yeah, but I'm not getting bitterness out of it. I'm getting much more on the sweet side.
I'm finding it, other than the sweetness, I'm finding everything about it kind of subtle. Like, as far as alcohol content, it's kind of subtle, other than the sweetness. Like, and all the other flavors to me are mostly subtle.
Yeah, there's some fruit flavors, but they're not real strong. I agree with you. There's some, like, herbal notes. Maybe that's the hops, I'm assuming. But there's kind of some acidity to it, maybe a little tartness.
So if anybody has ever had Platinum Bud Light, it's, for me, this has got a little bit of that. I don't know. No. It's not as hoppy as Platinum Bud Light. You know, like the increased alcohol version of Bud Light. I just, something about this beer I do not like. I don't know if it's something about the syrup taste. I feel like I can really taste the syrup taste in it.
It's a little thicker mouthfeel than your standard lager.
Does anybody feel like it's giving you a little bit? maybe this sounds weird, maybe it doesn't, but it's not a mint flavor, but it's like a mint sensation where it's a little bit cooling in your mouth.
I call it like cilantro.
Menthol-y.
You know what I think it is?
Yeah.
That could be it, but it's kind of like that Pop Rocks candy.
No.
Anybody get that?
Nope.
Not getting that.
They did not even ring a bell.
Is it possible you just had some Pop Rocks candy before you drank this?
Are you talking about the feeling or the taste?
Not the feeling, but the taste. I don't even know what that feeling is from Pop Rocks, but like the aftertaste. It's kind of a fruit and tart
post-pop
candy flavor.
Post pop.
So just the rock.
I get a Lucky Charm processed sugar taste to it. That's just me. It tastes like processed sugar to me. I don't know. I don't like it.
Y'all are talking about like you don't like it. I actually kind of like it.
He likes our Andy Eater.
Watch out, Joel.
I like it, but it's one I would definitely sit down and sip and not chug it.
It's funny you should say that, because I think the faster I drink this, the more I like it. It sounds crazy, but like I kind of started chugging it down a little bit, and I was like, it's pretty good now.
Yeah, I think that
I like
it's
it.
Kind of a dangerous beer. It's pretty easy to drink at 8%. If you drank three of those things in short time, you'd be feeling pretty good or pretty bad after a few more.
Do you have three I can take home?
Yeah. All right, that's going to close out the first half of the show. We have one more Louisiana beer coming up. We have the Sierra Nevada collaboration with five different southern breweries and two from the great state of Florida. All that when we return here on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoyed this podcast, this week I'm not even going to ask you to shop on Amazon. You're already shopping on Amazon. This month we've already made over $40. So good job on the shopping on Amazon. It's helping us out very much. This week I'm going to ask you that if you want to help us out, tell a friend about it. Obviously, if you like craft beer, you probably have friends that like craft beer. And you tell them about the podcast. Better yet, a lot of people don't know how to listen to a podcast. You can tell them how to download the app, show them how to subscribe, and then they can enjoy this show like you do. Also, if you listen to this podcast on iTunes, it helps us if you go to iTunes and rate and review the Beer of the Day podcast. I mean, obviously, you would rate it a 5.
Of course.
Because everyone would.
Is that the highest?
That's the highest. Okay. And then you write a review about it, and then that helps us move up the rankings in iTunes. So if someone comes in and is searching for a beer podcast, then we show up right at the top of the list, and that helps us out too. So if you go to iTunes and find the Beer of the Day podcast, rate and review, that helps us out as well. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. We have a strange brew, and it's from Abita Brewing Company. It's called Thanks for the assist there, Jimmy.
Purple Haze.
posted it.
Nailed that.
Purple Haze, 4.2%, 13 IBU. Once again from Abita Springs, Louisiana. Now, this is a strange brew because, if I'm not mistaken, it is made with raspberry puree.
Chunks of raspberry.
It kind of smells like it.
May be visible, according to the bottle.
And you see this beer, I've seen this beer a lot, like across even Sacramento. I've seen it multiple times.
I did see it when Prince passed away. Everyone was drinking Purple Haze, even though that's not a song, Purple Rain. So this beer, it's slightly cloudy. It is yellow colored, but I do get a little bit of a purplish hue to it, which is what you're supposed to see.
A haze, not a hue.
I think it's reflecting off my sweater.
It could be. No, even over here, I get a little bit of a purple quality to it. Thin white head.
I've never had this. 4.2%. I'm looking forward to this.
So,
smells good.
Go ahead, Joel.
I say Jeff is going to drink this whole 4.2%.
Yes.
It has a very traditional kind of Gosa smell when you
you taste it. So, growing up as a kid, my favorite like specialty juice was the like Crystal Geyser cranberry soda juice. Like it had the soda water in it with the cranberry, and this is more blueberry or whatever, but it's that same like carbonated soda juice feeling.
Exactly.
So that's good.
Good?
This tastes I think it's really good too.
This tastes like soda water to me.
It tastes like that Crystal Light diet.
No, not Crystal
stuff.
Light. No, not Crystal Light. I hate Crystal Light.
Nah,
do not say
that's
that.
Too sweet. This isn't sweet. It's the perfect amount of like
it's
raspberry with beer. I can't even describe it. It's just like very subtle, so balanced, and good.
Last week we had the white ale show. And this is kind of a white ale with a little hint of raspberry on the aftertaste. Am I wrong?
I agree
there?
With that.
You're not wrong.
I think it is more blueberry than raspberry. But I think when I drink this beer, like I would really enjoy drinking this beer super cold
all
next
day
to the pool. Like I wouldn't even be drinking it to like and like to get drunk, obviously. But I would just be drinking this beer to enjoy the flavor of it and just replace it for soda all day.
I think I enjoy the flavor. It just doesn't taste like beer. So,
no, it doesn't.
If you're looking for beer, this is not it. But I do like the flavor if you want something different. So it's definitely a strange brew.
For a sessionable alcoholic beverage, I could drink this.
I totally could too. I think like for some reason, and this is not that good of an analogy, but it's what it's reminding me of. Do you guys remember the Hansen's sodas when you were a kid? It's definitely nowhere that sweet, but I'm just like maybe because Andy's taking
Crystal Geyser.
No, crystal, I think crystal the aftertaste
not as creamy
is a little bit
because it feels
a pretty close comparison.
It feels like it has really good carbonation,
maybe like a Hansen's diet soda.
And the thing that I like about it is that the raspberries, a lot of times I feel like beers with raspberry in it get too overpowering in the raspberry, and then it gets kind of syrupy tasting and gross. This one, it's just like a hint of it.
Definitely. When I saw this on the shelf, I've seen it on the shelf for many years. I look at it, I'm like, oh God, that's going to be just too fruity. And it's not. It's just a little hint of it in the aftertaste. It's just there for a little extra flavor. Surprisingly good for me.
I like it.
Here's my take on it. I don't want to say anything bad about the taste. It tastes fine. Here's what the bottle says. Purple Haze is a lager brewed with real raspberries. It is brewed with Pilsner and wheat malts and Vanguard hops. I'm like going, where's the malt? Where's the hop? Where's the lager? This is mineral water.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I mean, good.
This is not beer at all.
It's not lager.
It definitely doesn't taste like beer.
I feel like it's false advertising.
But in general, we're having beers that are pretty high IBUs, pretty high ABVs. I mean, you go to Europe, and I don't think anybody in Europe is going to say what we just said, that this tastes like mineral water, doesn't taste like beer. I think they're going to say, oh, this tastes like a raspberry beer.
Yeah, they would say it tastes like flavored Perrier.
Yeah, obviously I had to move this beer later in the show because it's a strange brew. I wanted to come after the break with it. But this is the lightest beer we have tonight. So, you know, you kind of have to adjust your palate accordingly. All right, let's get to the next one. Let's crank it up three notches. We're moving to Florida now. Oakland Park, Florida. This is from Funky Buddha Brewery. And the first one we're going to try is the More Moro Blood Orange IPA. And this is one of the one Hugo brought across the country for us.
Thank you, Hugo.
This is one of those beers where right when you open it, you get hit with the aroma before you even pour it.
So do you get a little bit of that old-fashioned? Like, so when I smelled it, I was like, daggone, this smells so good. I'm hoping this tastes like an old-fashioned because I really like old-fashions.
Yeah, like when they do the little, you know, orange peel.
Yeah, orange peel, and they like sometimes they have like a lighter and they like make it flame up somehow with sugar or something crazy.
This smells exactly like the orange hand scrub when your hands are greasy. Mm-hmm. And then it's got like
the ones the mechanics use.
Yeah, and then it's got like the pumice stone in it. That's exactly what it smells like.
Yeah, that's a good pull. That is what it smells like.
That's pretty good, yeah. Got it, that's good.
What is that stuff called? Zep or whatever? The cleaning solution?
Yeah, Zep, that sounds
that, and like what, we have one that's like orange off or something like that. Like
this is all kinds of brands, but they're it's not quite as like antiseptic as that, but it is a very similar aroma.
It kind of tastes a lot like both of these last two beers taste kind of like a soda. This is like a blood orange soda. I don't know that I'd call this an IPA.
So color wise, it's kind of a orange color, very hazy. White head on top. It looks like a sunrise. It's the color of mimosa.
It tastes exactly like a hopped orange crush.
Oh, I thought you were totally going to steal what I was going to say.
What are you going to say?
So Andy liked the last beer because it reminded him of a childhood treat. This to me is like my favorite childhood candy, orange Tic Tacs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is liquid orange Tic Tacs.
I do get orange crush on it, though.
Yeah.
But you take a sip of this, it's very fruity, very orange forward, a little perfect amount of carbonation for this beer. Where's the 7% alcohol?
Yeah. Where's where's the 80 IBU? That's what I want to know, because I'm not getting that at all.
Oh, yeah. It is not bitter.
I mean, it's highly carbonated, sweet. But I think it has to be for this style.
This is at 7%. Man, that is dangerous.
I like the flavor of blood orange in general. And with beers that have these types of flavors in them, they either way overdo it or it's just non-existent. This is kind of perfect balance.
Perfect.
I could drink this. I don't know if I could drink this all night, but I could have three of them and be okay with it in a night.
It says IPA, right? IPA is normally not a very accessible beer to a mainstream beer drinker.
Yeah.
This, I think you just pull someone randomly off the street. You pull that kid out of TGI Fridays, he's gonna like this beer.
In 14 years.
Steve, as the resident produce expert, I have to ask you a question. Now, when I think of blood oranges, to me, blood oranges are a lot more tart. And this isn't tart to me. This is more like navel or Valencia orange, where it's like a sweet citrus.
I think blood orange is sweeter than really? A orange. Yeah, I mean it.
Most of the time when I have blood oranges, they're like tart. Maybe I'm not eating the right ones.
Yeah, you might need to let it ripen a little bit more.
On Beer the Day.
I think the blood orange, though, is it's a flavor that can be sweetened very well. That's why a lot of people use now everything is blood orange flavor. It's right. Not nothing is regular orange anymore because it doesn't probably have as much sugar in it naturally.
Thing is, though, most blood orange beers are more red than this. This is actually like an orange beer.
We need to line them up side by side next show.
Maybe it's just the beers that I've been having that have blood orange in it seem to be more tart.
But
this seems a lot
typically
sweeter.
Has blood orange flavoring, like a sour.
No, so I would say that this beer, blood orange in general, is very close to a grapefruit taste. Like this beer compares very closely to grapefruit Sculpin, in my opinion.
Really?
This to me that doesn't have the IPA consistency that grapefruit Sculpin has. If I just tasted this, I would never call it an IPA.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too. I don't know where you get the IPA out of tasting this.
I don't.
I would call it a pale ale, though. I wouldn't call it an IPA, but I would call it a pale ale.
I'd call it some type of mimosa that has beer instead of champagne mixed into it.
I call it liquid gold.
So like a redneck mimosa?
So I do like this beer, and hats off to Funky Buddha Brewing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Funky Buddha.
And we have another Funky Buddha beer later on in the show, but first...
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
We have comments this week. The first was from John Cox. He went to the Beer of the Day website and decided to send us some feedback. And he sent an email to feedback@beeroftheday.com. And that email address goes to me. And then I forward it to everyone else here. And he said, "Hi, I have been listening for a while now and love your podcast. I'm totally with a homie that's not fond of IPA. Shout out to you, bro. Sorry, I don't remember names well."
Yes, because IPA sucks.
"Are all of you on Untappd? If so, what are your handles?" Beer of the Day has an Untappd account. It's called Beer of the Day Site. For the most part, we're uploading our beers to beeroftheday.com. And, we have to put up a beer each and every day. That actually ends up being more work than it sounds like.
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean, between Jeff and Britton and I, we're pretty much handling all the Beer of the Day duties, writing descriptions, taking photos, putting the beers up. And if anyone else out there has a beer that they have that they want to share with the rest of the world, then they can take a picture of the beer, write a description, put it up, and we will feature it as the Beer of the Day. And it'll get sent out to everybody. We post it to the website each day, obviously. We post it to Facebook each day. And also to Twitter and to Instagram.
And SMS.
Correct, yeah. We also email it out to all the Beer of the Day subscribers on the website. And if they put their phone number in, we text message it to them with a picture of a beer and a link to read the description.
Which is hella cool.
It is cool. there's many different ways to get the Beer of the Day sent to you. So explore those options, everybody.
Pretend it's your freshman year in college. Explore all your options.
Speaking of Instagram.
Were we?
He did.
Other comments on Instagram this week. We had a conversation breakout, and this was on a stone beer that Jeff had, right?
Of course
I did.
The Stone Enjoy by 516.
And Andy, for the record, the reason I got this beer is because not too long ago you sent me a photo of this beer, which made me want to try it.
I don't want to send you any photos.
Yes, you did. It was the Enjoy by 531.
Oh,
530.
Is that the tangerine one?
IPA. Yep.
I don't know where that photo was taken, but I didn't drink that beer. So how was it?
Not very good.
So Jeff posted this. "Drinking this right now. Anyone else had this recently? We generally love this whole series, but this is far from our favorite. Hashtag enjoy by beer from Stone. Curious as to what others think. Hashtag Stone Brewing. Hashtag enjoy by 53016. Hashtag tangerine IPA. Hashtag IPA. Hashtag enjoy by tangerine. Hashtag craft beer. Hashtag beer port. Hashtag beer podcast. Hashtag beer of the day. Hashtag beer of the day site." Bavarian Cheese responded, "Where did you pick that up, my friend? Haven't been able to find it. I'm a big fan of the Enjoy By, but curious to try this one. Got it at Whole Foods of Pasadena at Bavarian Cheese." Abby V. Miller, "We've had it several times, bottled and on tap. Delish, not overpowering on the tangerine. Beer of the Day site." Jeff, maybe we had a bad one. I should rephrase, not bad, just not as tasty and juicy as the beers, other beers from this series. Abby, I do prefer citrus IPAs, though. So we do post the Beer of the Day to Instagram each day. We are at Beer of the Day site, and you can get involved in these heated debates like this one. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay, and on Twitter, at Beer of the Day.
I really like that Enjoy By series, but this one was not very good.
I have not had it yet.
Abby likes it.
Was my birthday one good?
420.
420.
That one was good. And the unfiltered one was excellent. Tangerine, I don't know. Not for me.
All right, let's get into the next beer. Now, this is one that came out recently, and it's not from a southern brewery per se, but this is from Sierra Nevada, and it's part of their Beer Camp series, 2016. And the Beer Camp series is where they go all, they tour all around the country, and they collaborate with different groups of breweries in different geographic locations. And this one is the one that they made with the Southeast collaborators. So this is Sierra Nevada in collaboration with Funky Buddha, Whoa. Who we just had a beer from, and we're going to have another beer from, Austin Beer Works, Creature Comforts, Wicked Weed, and Bayou Tech.
Tesh?
Yeah.
Tesh.
It makes it sound like a computer company.
Tesh? Tesh. I don't know.
Tesh.
Like Bayou
John.
Tech.
Like John Tesh.
So this beer is
superconductor.
Super pale. Like super pale.
It's called Sweet Sunny South. 4.9% ABV, 23 IBU.
It very is. Aromatic. As I poured it, I was getting tons of smell.
This looks a lot like Purple Haze.
It's very light colored. I mean, a lot of these beers have been similar in color, but this one's a very light golden color.
Yes.
A lot of carbonation bubbling up. Thin
Lots
white,
of aroma.
Thin white head.
You know what it smells like to me? Sweet Sunny South. Like if I had to imagine standing in a field in the South in summertime, this has like pollen and like honey and like,
I just totally closed my eyes and pictured myself there.
There's some floral, it smells like a flower of some kind.
I don't think I've ever had a beer called a table beer. Like, I feel like that's degrading a little bit. I think this is going to be better than that.
Right under that, it says ale with brewed and added natural flavors. I obviously.
So this is going to be super abstract, but just go with me here. So when you visit Palm Springs or Palm Desert in the summertime, the air in general just smells
hotter than hell,
like wildflowers. And that's kind of what it is. I wouldn't describe the beer as smelling floral, but it's very aromatic and like
it's got a lot of grapefruit in it to me.
There's some fruit going on. I don't know if it's like peaches or some. I don't know what it is.
Grapefruit's a good hit there. It has that bitterness to it, like the grapefruit skin kind of.
I get a green apple tartness too, though.
I was going to say apple, not necessarily a green apple tart,
green,
but
green apple.
Apple.
I think this has kind of a Chardonnay-like quality. It's kind of dry and kind of has that, I mean, like you can pull those different fruit characteristics, but it's not sweet.
So when a beer labels itself Sweet Sunny South, I'm thinking the first thing that comes to your mind is sweet tea, right? And I can't stand that stuff. It's just, it's too sweet.
Agreed.
This beer is sweet, no doubt, but it has enough of like that fruity characteristic to where you get over it, you know?
A little tartness too.
Yeah.
I don't think it is very sweet. I think that it's more on the dry side. I mean, it's not tart, but compared to some of the beers we had earlier, and maybe that influenced my palate a lot, but I thought those earlier beers in the show were very sweet. So this one, to me, is pretty reserved.
I mean, it's sweet, but it's also tart. I get the grapefruit is a tart flavor. Green apple is a tart flavor. And I get a lot of that in there. This is such a fruity beer.
Have you guys ever had a mango that's...
Yes.
That's just not ripe enough?
Yes.
So this has that mango flavor that's just... But it's a good... It's like a... This tastes like Hawaii to me. It's like a Hawaii that's not ripe enough.
I feel like Joel's spot on.
So it has, according to the label... This rustic ale features a southern twist, including corn grits, tea leaves, and plenty of sweet fruit, peaches, papaya, guava, and prickly pear for an easy drinking beer.
I can get tea leaf. I can get that kind of.
It's got like a tannic, almost like a tannic quality or something where it's like, it's that dry, it's like the dry Chardonnay that you were talking about. I feel like tea does that too. But
maybe the prickly pear and the guava. That it does give it like a more island type taste. Yeah. Like when you said Hawaii, that rings a lot more true to me than the South.
Yeah. And so when I've had the other Funky Buddha brewery beer, you know, I imagine all these brewers together trying to find out what they're going to make. I just feel like Funky Buddha Brewery really kind of took the lead on this one, because this reminds me a lot of the other one we had, where I feel like it's so unique that I don't experience that type of beer very often. I see similarities in the style and what they're doing to it.
I agree. I think the fruitiness in this beer is as prevalent as the orange was in the previous Funky Buddha beer.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely front and center, right up front.
What's kind of funny to me is in the previous beer, the Funky Buddha's More Moro, they call it an IPA, and we're going, it's not an IPA. This one, Beer Camp, they call an ale. But to me, it's hoppier. It has more of an IPA kind of quality to it.
I think there's a bitterness to it, and I think that's the tea.
The bitterness is meeting sour, though.
Yeah. I don't get hops from this at all.
I think this has a lot going on, we've said this a lot, but when I think about sitting by the pool on a summer day, this is a beer I would like to drink.
It does have a lot going on. It's very complex.
Surprisingly tasty. This is one that I see on Facebook and things, and I had no interest in trying, but I'm glad we did.
Yeah. It's surprisingly complex at 4.9%. Very light, yeah. Refreshing.
That's a great point.
Man, if you had a pool party and you had the last three beers that we've drank.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a great day.
Purple Haze, the Blood Orange IPA, and totally. Sweet Sunny South.
You could just swing by, back by there and grab us some more for our next 4th of July or whatever.
We just have a cooler full of these. I mean, this is just a monster showcase of summer beers.
All right, well, let's move into the final beer of the night. This is another Funky Buddha beer from Oakland Park, Florida. This is called Hop Stimulator IPA, 9.5%, highest ABV of the night, and 88 IBU, most bitter beer of the night.
A double IPA.
Wait, Britton, I don't know about you, but this is the one I was definitely looking most forward to today.
Oh, totally.
There's some sarcasm there.
I was really impressed with the first two Funky Buddha brews. So I have high expectations now for this one.
They only had one finger in the last one, though.
Finger out of the palm.
As Joel could taste in that beer, they were taking the lead on it.
This is an interesting color.
It's not that different from the rest, though. A little bit darker, but still pretty golden. I mean, it's kind of light in color for a double IPA.
The color of dehydrated urine.
Yeah, yes. So I was going to say, the last one was like if I just ran a mile. This one was like if I ran 5 miles.
So, you know what I find interesting is, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, a liquid, when it's concentrated all in one part of the glass, it's like dark, right? And then you pour a little bit out and it'll lighten up. This isn't lightening up. Like, no matter how much you have in the glass, it's just like a dark.
Okay, so I just tasted this beer. This beer is freaking dynamite.
How does it smell?
Smells awesome, actually.
It smells a lot like the Hopitulus we had. It has a sweet hop, a little bit of a dry hop aroma.
But it's very malty. But I mean,
nailed.
It's a lot more aromatic, in my opinion. Like, you can smell the hops. It reminds me.
It's very sweet smelling, though.
Yeah.
You can smell the hops, but once you taste it, in my mind, it's all malts.
Oh, Steve, you're going to love it.
That good, huh?
Oh, my God.
Joel, how does it taste?
This beer is freaking dynamite.
This is delicious. Lots of tropical fruits, but it's very malty.
For you hop heads, it's great.
This is an excellent East Coast IPA.
Exactly. I get like classic East Coast IPA here. Yeah.
No, don't agree.
Yes. Smells fantastic.
I agree.
Tastes awful.
It might be a little hoppier than some East Coast IPAs, but it's on the hoppier side.
But it's not a bitter hop. It's a very sweet tropical hop flavor.
Yes.
And then those sweet malts also.
Monstrously hoppy is what it says on the bottle. Now, this is something
they're from Florida
that resonates with me. Is it says it's resinous alpha and beta acids intertwine. It is resinous.
It is, but it's not like super piney or those type of hop flavors. It's not very bitter. It's really more of a sweeter hop, but I can get the resinous for sure.
Yeah.
There are some IPAs that I describe as like sticky or juicy, and that's what I get from this beer.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it too.
I don't.
Funky Buddha. So I sent these beers up to Dallas, and all of them arrived except for one, and it shattered in the box. So, you know, Dallas sends me this picture of the box I sent it in, and it's all banged up on the corner.
It was beat to crap.
Jeff marked this box fragile in like 20 places, and the box comes beat to hell badly.
There's dents on every side.
Now,
I'm
never
doing that again.
Do you ever get, like, I always, whenever I find beat to shit boxes like that, I always think of Ace Ventura when he like sticks it in the elevator door and it like slams and he like kicks it down.
Right, but I think it's true. Like I've read online articles where if, you know, people that are in the business, if it's marked fragile, they throw it a little harder, you know? So I think marking it fragile is a bad idea.
But I sent 7 beers. 6 of them arrived intact. One of them broke in transit, and it was also from the same brewery. It's called Hop Gun. It's their normal IPA. Sure. So I still have one Hop Gun that I will drink, and I will tell you guys about it. But I'm glad we got this one. I'm glad this one survived, because I think this is a very good representation of an East Coast IPA.
I agree completely. All right. Well, that was fun. Let's recap the beers we've had tonight, and we'll figure out what our favorite beer of the day is.
Okay, so we started off with the Blackened Voodoo Lager from Dixie Brewing Company. And then we had the Hopitulus IPA from NOLA. We had the Andy Gator from Abita. The Purple Haze also from Abita. The Moro Blood Orange IPA from Funky Buddha. The Sweet Sunny South from, that's the collaboration between Sierra Nevada and
everybody.
5 other breweries. And then we've finished off with the Hop Stimulator Double IPA from Funky Buddha.
All right, I'm going to spin the wheel here. We'll see who goes first. And it's Britton to go first this week.
All righty. So I really liked both of the Abita beers. The Andy Gator was really good. I really liked the Purple Haze. I can see myself drinking both of those, but I'm going to go with the Andy Gator. I think that I could really get myself in trouble with that beer. It was very drinkable for the... Andy's laughing over here to himself.
So many innuendos.
The Andy Gator will get you in trouble.
Yes. That will be left unsaid, but that's my choice, is the Andy Gator by Abita.
So for mine... You know, hats go off to, I said already once, Funky Buddha Brewery. I mean, I was impressed by everything that they put out, including their collaboration with Sierra Nevada and 4 others for the Sweet Sunny South. But I'm going to go with the Hop Stimulator Double IPA. I just liked that style of sweetness and maltiness combined with that tropical, juicy flavor. You know, I just... really shocked and impressed with some of those Florida beers, and I'm looking forward to trying other Funky Buddha Brewery beers.
I think the 2 Funky Buddhas were also the best. There's a clear winner for me. It's the Orange Tic Tac, the Moro. Maybe it's nostalgia. Maybe it's that I wasn't a huge fan of the rest of the beers tonight. They were all okay to me. The Orange Tic Tac killed it for me. I liked that one a lot. I would drink that anytime.
Stop calling it the Orange Tic Tac.
I love Orange Tic Tacs.
I did when I was 10.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
As an adult, they're just not the same.
Dallas, how about you?
It's a really tough decision. I am going to go with the Sweet Sunny South. This is a Sierra Nevada collaboration with Funky Buddha and the other Southern breweries on the list. I wasn't expecting very much from this beer going into it. I see a 4.9% sweet Southern beer. It really says sweet tea to me, you know, and it's going to be overly sweet. And I didn't think it was going to be that good. Very impressed with it. The tropical fruit flavors were just, it's one of the most fruity beers you can get your hands on, I think. And so drinkable and so refreshing and very different than any other beer I've had. So kind of tip my hat to them for that beer. It kind of gives me hope for their other 5 beers they have in that 12 pack out in the garage. You know, the beer camp, it's kind of been hit or miss before for me, but I'm looking forward to trying the other ones now.
I like Dallas's pick, and I like the variety of picks so far. But for me, this is very easy. It's the last beer we had, the Hop Stimulator. Joel made some very good points. I agree with everything he said. I like the East Coast style. It's not the style I normally gravitate towards, but I like how fresh tasting it was. I looked, it was bottled about a month ago. I like the tropical fruits, the sticky, juicy flavors. It's a little bitter, but not too bitter. It's malty, but not too malty. It's just, I think, a really great tasting beer. So I'm going with the Funky Buddha Hop Stimulator Double IPA.
Okay, so the my beer of the day is the Moromoro Blood Orange IPA. You know, the reason is I really like that dark citrus flavor. We have the Salerno in the cupboard. It's in our favorite bourbon drink. It really kind of falls in line with that.
Stonewall.
The Stonewall.
Do you like orange Tic Tacs?
I did like orange Tic Tacs as
Everybody
a kid.
Everybody likes orange
Try Tic-Tacs. Them as an adult and you'll regret it. It's
nasty.
Not, yeah, they are. This doesn't remind me of an orange Tic Tac at all. Maybe the adult version of one, but sure. Great beer, great dark citrus fruit. You could taste it. It's not overpowering. It's excellent.
Very good. That is going to close out the show for tonight. I want to thank Hugo for bringing us three of the seven beers we tried tonight. Definitely good to get some different beers from places that we can't get them here in California. So definitely good.
Thank you, Hugo.
You should give him a coaster or something.
We can give him a pint glass, Beer of the Day pint glass. Next week, in our small little town of Elk Grove here, it's kind of up and coming in the beer scene. And we have three local breweries now, and we have our very first beer festival. There are 40 breweries or so from California and the surrounding areas. And so we're going to attempt to record a podcast there. I think it'll be a little bit quieter than we had at the Newport Beach Brew Fest, so I think we'll have a better chance at it, but we'll see how that goes. That'll be our 49th show. Show 50 will be the following week. We are rapidly getting close to our one-year anniversary here on the Beer of the Day podcast. As of tonight, with these seven beers, we have drank 310 beers on this show.
That's unhealthy.
And
no, it's awesome.
So we've had a pretty good first year, and we'll have some celebrations for that going forward. We'll see you next time. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Steve Williamson, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time here on the Beer of the Day podcast.